Labors of Love. An informative look at modern-day evangelization, featuring the ministries and work of the Catholic Church in South Texas. Stay with us and learn of the Church's many services and benefits with your host, Margaret Alleria, Director of Evangelization and Catechesis for the Diocese of Corpus Christi, as she explores the Catholic faith with her many guests and their labors of love.
Welcome once again to Labors of Love, where we bring the labors of love from the Diocese of Corpus Christi straight to you. I'm your host, Margaret Alleria, and I am here with Deacon Michael Mantz, Diaconate Director for the Diocese of Corpus Christi. Thank you for joining me today, Deacon.
Well, thank you very much, Margaret, for inviting me to share with you and with your listeners maybe some things that they really don't know about permanent deacons. So I'm very glad to be here today, and I'm excited to answer your questions.
Thank you again. I think that it's really important for our audience to know exactly what a deacon is, who can become a deacon, the process of becoming a deacon. Before we get into all of those interesting things, could you please tell me a little bit about yourself?
Well, I've been ordained for 18 years. I was ordained in 1993 by Bishop Rene Gracida. Initially, I was assigned to Holy Family Parish here in Corpus Christi, but that didn't last too long. I was assigned there for about 2 months, and then I was transferred to Corpus Christi Cathedral, where I've had my parochial ministry since then. Initially, when I was ordained, I also had an assignment to the incarcerated youth in Nueces County, and also to the alcohol and substance abuse and the boot camps, where the prisoners go to boot camp. So I actually had that ministry for about 5 years, and then I was assigned to the director's office. I became the associate director, and then I would say 10 or 11 years ago, I became the director for the deacons.
And Deacon Mantz, would you mind sharing with the audience and with myself exactly what called you to the ministry of deacon?
You know, what called me or what calls a lot of people may be different, but I would say in most cases, in my case also, it was the real need and to be of service to the church, okay, go a step further than what I was doing. And I was really called through other people, okay, because usually what happens, those attributes that one shows for diaconal service usually comes out before one is really called. And your family, your friends, your pastor, the parishioners are usually the ones that see these things in you and many times encourage you. Sometimes the individual themselves have a need to serve, and they will inquire about it themselves, maybe through other deacons. I myself was called through my pastor, my wife, but also the two deacons who were at St. Philip's at the time I was going to St. Philip's.
So in addition to the attribute of service, what other attributes would you say people saw in you or see in other potential deacon candidates?
You know, Margaret, I would say someone who is willing to be open to helping, someone who is willing to go the extra step, the extra mile, so to speak, because the deacon service is not just in the liturgy or in the church. The deacon service many times goes beyond the church walls. The deacon actually serves in three different ways. We call it the three-prong ministry of the deacon, which is the liturgy, the word, and charity. So many times what a deacon does are outside the walls of the church, so to speak.
So faith lived. Faith in
absolutely.
Action.
Absolutely. It has to be faith lived. Yes, absolutely. Your faith can take a hold of you in your prayer life. It can enter your mind, your heart, but it has to get in your feet for things to happen.
Exactly.
And that's where a deacon comes into play.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for sharing.
Sure.
Tell me just who and what is a Roman Catholic deacon?
Good question. And I'm sure many people really, to this day, even our faithful do not know what a Roman Catholic deacon is. Roman Catholic deacon is actually a member of the ordained clergy, sometimes referred to as a cleric. You know, in the Roman Catholic Church, we have three levels of clergy, which are bishop, priest, and deacon. The name or title, actually it's a name, the name deacon actually comes from the Greek root word diakonos, which means servant. Deacons are ordained by the bishop in each diocese, and basically they work and are directed by the bishop to serve the needs of the faithful in the diocese. And as I mentioned before, they do this in three basic ways, by word, liturgy, and charity.
And what would you say are some of the major functions in addition to liturgy, word, and charity of a deacon? Are you of assistance to the priest, to the bishop? Who do you belong to, so to speak, in terms of service?
Well, actually, if in terms of who we belong to...
Is that everyone?
Yes, but we actually answer to the bishop.
Okay.
The deacon is directly tied to the bishop. However, that being said, the deacon functions through what is called his faculties, which are his authorizations that are given to him by the bishop at time of his ordination. And these faculties empower the deacon to baptize children, to witness marriages, to assist at Mass, to proclaim the gospel, to preach, to preside at benedictions, funeral vigils, graveside services, prayer services, and so forth. Deacons cannot celebrate Mass. They cannot hear confessions. They cannot anoint the sick, nor can they ordain members of clergy or confer the sacrament of confirmation.
I'm glad that you differentiated some of the functions or the main functions of the deacons and how there are particular things that are reserved to the pastors or to the priests. Some might not have known that a deacon cannot hear confessions or anoint the sick. But you're still there if someone did want you to visit with the sick. Is that correct?
Absolutely. In many cases, the deacon's ministry is outside of the church walls. Deacons really serve in many capacities. For instance, as an example, deacons serve in prisons, to shut-ins, to the homeless. And as I mentioned before, my first assignment, I had a dual assignment, was naturally in the parish, having a parochial ministry, but also at the Alcohol and Abuse Substance Center and the Juvenile Incarceration Center. So that's correct. Deacons many times do visit the homeless and sick.
Wonderful. Now, you did say that deacons serve in many capacities. Is being a deacon I know it's a full-time ministry, but do you have a ministry or a job apart from being a deacon?
Yes. It just so happens that I'm retired from my job, but I still work. Most deacons work full-time jobs, and quite a few of the deacons are also married. As a matter of fact, in the United States, I would say 90 to 95% of all permanent deacons are married. And this hold that percentage holds true for the Diocese of Corpus Christi. But yes, at this particular time, even though I am retired from my job, I am the director for the permanent diaconate, but I do teach. I'm an adjunct professor at both Del Mar College and Texas A&M University. And also I teach the collegiate high school program at Del Mar University.
So if someone does have a calling, their job outside of any ministries that they're a part of should not prohibit them.
No, it really shouldn't, because where there's a will, there's a way. And most men realize that if they're going to come into diaconate formation, they're going to have to make allowances. If they're working on the weekend, then most men will make allowances in their schedule to be able to come and participate in diaconate formation. But as the saying goes, your family comes first. Okay, your job second, and then the diaconate or the church third. So a man's first vocation, if he's married, is to his wife. Okay, you're a married man, and so that's your first vocation. And your job outside of the church has to feed the family that you have.
Yes.
And then the diaconate comes third.
I see. But I know...
But it's a balancing act.
Exactly. I was going to say, I know plenty of deacons that are able to make it all work because of their passion for service.
Absolutely. And so you have to balance. And it doesn't always happen where the family or wife comes first. You know, we want to say that's how it should be, but many times it's not. And so the wife is just as much involved in the diaconate ministry as the deacon is, because she understands that.
And as a matter of fact, some of the deacons that I do know that are married usually have their wife with them in all the ministries that they're a part of, that it just seems as though if you invite a deacon, they're going to say, may I invite my wife?
Yes.
What would you say about that?
Well, I would say that's it should be that way. But let me begin by saying this, mm-hmm. that no married man can be ordained as a permanent deacon without the written consent of his spouse. And so the wife of the deacon candidate, someone who's in formation, the wife of a deacon candidate is always expected to participate in formation, that is the formation practicums, as much as possible. I realize if there's small children and other matters that she's going to have to attend that. But the husband's ordination, however, does not confer any ministerial role for the wife. There is no real single model or paradigm for the wife of a deacon. Some deacons' wives are very active in the ministry based on their own qualifications, while others prefer to kind of work behind the scenes in support of their husbands. So there's no one single model. But yes, many deacons will bring their wives.
Deacon Mance, we're going to take a quick break. Stay with us on Labors of Love.
This is Labors of Love.
When summer arrives, we all want to be fit and trim. So here's a great way to get started. St. Michael the Archangel Parish in Banchetti will host a 5K run walk on Saturday, April 5th, rain or shine. The race will begin in front of the church, 4316 4th Street at 8 a.m. Along the course, there'll be mile markers, water stations, and volunteers to assist and guide participants, and prizes will be awarded to the top runners. The Coastal Bend Bloodmobile will be on hand as well. For registration forms and more information, please visit the church office or call 361-815-9880.
I'm here with my guest, Deacon Michael Mance, the Diaconate Director for the Diocese of Corpus Christi. Deacon, before the break, we were talking about a deacon, his wife, the role that a spouse plays. And I think that the audience would be interested in knowing if a deacon must remain celibate, because they do have an understanding that priests need to remain celibate. Is that the same for a deacon? Can you elaborate on that?
Yes, that's a good question, Margaret. By the way, I wish I could bottle your energy. We could sell it and make a lot of money. Anyway, good question, Margaret. The permanent diaconate was restored by the Vatican II Ecumenical Council, and the restored order allowed men who are in a valid sacramental marriage to study for and be ordained into the order of deacons as a permanent deacon. However, clerics, that is, ordained clergy in the Roman Catholic Church, cannot marry. Single men entering into formation who are ordained into the diaconate must take a vow of celibacy. This is true for permanent deacons and also for those deacons that we call transitional deacons, or those young men who come out of the seminary who are studying actually for the priesthood. They become ordained deacons first. In both cases, they have to take a vow of celibacy. Widowed and divorced deacons cannot remarry. They must remain celibate. So, to answer your question, married men can study and become permanent deacons, but ordained clerics in the church cannot marry. So if you're a married man, you become a permanent deacon, your wife precedes you in death, or if you become divorced, you cannot remarry. Now, there are some canons that allow deacons who are widowed to petition Rome to have Rome allow them to remarry, but, you know, I've never heard of that really going through.
And this is all quite fascinating. I think one of the next questions from our audience might be, why if, let's say, someone that would like to be a deacon is not married when they begin their studies, why can they not get married?
Because during the years of formation, that is the time where you begin to devote yourself to the actual ministry and calling of an ordained minister. You're married, and realizing that, it takes quite a while for a relationship to develop. Not a simple 1 or 2 years, but a relationship to really get on steady ground is going to take a while. So someone who is wanting to date or really have a courtship with a young lady while he's in formation, it's just not going to work. It's counterproductive of what they're saying that they want to do.
Well, I do understand that your studies are quite intense when you're studying to become a deacon.
That's correct.
Yeah.
That's correct.
Let's go ahead and talk about the word deacon, because we hear the word deacon in other denominations and churches. Is a Roman Catholic deacon the same as any other deacon in another denomination?
No, not really. In many Christian denominations, deacons are basically what you would call parish elders or parish trustees. However, I might add that in the Episcopalian and Methodist churches, the deacons or the ministry of the deacon is flourishing, much like that of the Roman Catholic Church. And they have the same type of duties. For instance, they proclaim the gospel, they preach, and especially they're involved with the outreach programs that the community may have. That's what we call the Deacon's Ministry of Charity.
And I know this is a question that I've studied, but not many people might know. Are there deacons mentioned in the Bible?
Oh, yes, definitely. Probably the most known or the first one that's mentioned is the appointment of the seven in the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 6, when seven men were chosen by the apostles to distribute the food to the widows. And among the seven were Stephen, the first martyr of the church. By the way, we celebrate his day on December 26th, the day after Christmas. And also another famous one is Philip. Also, deacons are mentioned if you've read the epistles in Paul's letter to the Philippians. Paul directs in his comments, he's directing his comments to the entire community, but specifically, if you read that letter in the beginning, he directs it to bishops and deacons. And probably one of the most famous ones also is in the first letter of Timothy in chapter 3, where it actually lists all the qualities of a deacon. So deacons, as you can see, do have a scriptural basis.
And people do ask that, you know, when
Absolutely.
We're talking about Mary, when we talk about
yes.
the saints, you know, even when people bring up the rosary and just a variety of things,
yes.
they want to know, is this scripturally based? And everything that the Catholic faith is about is based on scripture and tradition.
Absolutely.
So I'm glad that you were able to elaborate on that. Let's go ahead and move on to and we alluded to this a bit earlier, the training and formation of deacons. How long does it take to study to become a deacon?
Actually, in the Diocese of Corpus Christi and in most dioceses, it's a 5-year program. First of all, the formation program in our diocese is directed by a formation director. Our formation director here in the diocese is Deacon John Joyner from Kingsville, Texas. John and his team, I believe, do an excellent job in directing the program, and actually they have improved quite a bit in the last 4 years on the basic program that we have. So it's a 5-year program. The process really begins with what we call inquiry, where the men come and inquire. That's kind of a discernment period. And they inquire, and that takes about a year, believe it or not. We have about 6 or 7 different meetings, and then we have a thorough application that they have to execute and turn into us, and then they're interviewed, they're screened, then they're actually tested. We give them psychological tests, and all of this information is then tabulated and given to the bishop for his discretion, because the bishop has the final word on who comes into formation and who doesn't.
So even though a lot of men might have the calling to become a deacon, there are certain qualifications, attributes, personalities that can actually make a successful deacon. And so that's what this process is about.
Yes, it is. And once they're admitted into the program, then the next 4 years actually starts their academics, their studying, and all of the things that will go into what we call practicums, all of the things that will go into making a deacon a viable ordained cleric in the Catholic Church.
Now let's talk about some of these specifics when one does become a deacon. Are they transferred from parish to parish? Do they stay in one parish for their entire tenure? How does that work?
That's a good question. You know, someone had asked me one time, they said, you know, Deacon Michael, what happens after a deacon is ordained? Well, the first thing that happens is we have a party.
Of course. Celebration.
Absolutely. Celebration.
Jesus enjoyed celebrations.
That's correct. But after that, you know, all kidding aside, after the ordination, the deacon will receive what's called a parochial assignment from the bishop, and he's sent to work in a parish. And he can also receive the diocesan assignment. And we do have several deacons in this diocese who have both. I think our family life director is permanent deacon. The coordinator for the prison ministry is a permanent deacon, along with having parochial assignments. Myself, I have a dual assignment, being the director and having a parochial ministry. So, and your question was, can they be transferred from parish to parish? Absolutely, yes, they can. Again, this will depend on the needs of the diocese as determined by the bishop. And I might add that Bishop Mulvey has been adamant with me on many occasions to let me know that deacons in this diocese are missionary deacons and they can expect to be moved around.
Deacon Mance, what a wonderful conversation, and I enjoyed my time with you. If anyone has any questions about the diaconate program, where would you send them to?
They can call me at the permanent diaconate office. The number is 289-2343. And if I am not there, the secretary will take a message and I will get back to anyone who's interested at all.
Thank you again for joining me. May God continue to bless your ministry.
Thank you. God bless you, Margaret.
This is Labors of Love, the ministries and evangelization of the Diocese of Corpus Christi. If you have questions or perhaps a comment about today's program, why not send us email? Address your email to labors@klux.org or by U.S. mail, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, Texas, 78407. And now, with this week's sacred moment, here is Deacon Stephen Nolte.
God the Father has created us out of love and for love, giving us life, a life we are called to share with others. The prophet Isaiah says, "The Lord called me from birth, from my mother's womb. He gave me my name." God knows us each by our most intimate name, the name by which He calls us from the beginning. He knits each of us together in our mother's womb, fashioning us by His tender hands, hands that shape each of us with love and promise. The name by which He calls us defines us. It gives us identity. It reminds us that we belong to a family, the family of God. This is what gives us a special dignity and beauty, belonging to and being loved by our Father. If we were to realize how much we are loved, we would treat each other and ourselves with the dignity we deserve, the dignity God desires for us. He loves each of us uniquely. Each of us has our name inscribed in His heart and written on His palms. He invites us to come to Him, to seek Him. Only through His presence can we know Him, and only in knowing Him can we know ourselves. This seeking is a journey of discovery, of a growing awareness of His presence dwelling in the depths of our heart. It is this awareness of His presence that gives us identity, meaning, and joy. It is the source of all life and fruitfulness. We must realize that we can bear no fruit apart from Him. It is His free gift of love for us that allows the possibility for a fruitful life, the possibility to become a gift to one another. It is in being a gift to one another and receiving the gift of others that we most closely image Him. This giftedness is what allows us to enter the fullness of life He has called us to. If we are to live this fullness of life, to have it abundantly, we must ask ourselves, what is it that makes me hesitate to give myself fully to Him, to give Him the deepest yearnings of my heart, my desire to be something more than what I can be if left to myself? In Matthew's Gospel, Jesus responds to a question with the words, "Come and see." It is His invitation to the first disciples, and the same invitation He extends to each of us today. He invites us first to go with Him, to see where He stays, where He can be found. It is an invitation which also invites us to see the heart of the Father from where He comes. There was once a young man who eagerly described his desire to serve the hungry and poor. The wise man to whom he was speaking asked him, "When do you plan to make your desire become a reality?" The young man replied, "As soon as the opportunity arrives." In response, the wise man said, "Opportunity never arrives. It is already here." My dear brothers and sisters, the moment and the place He invites us to enter are already here. We are invited to come to the heart of the Father and to enter into the labors of His love. May you hear God calling you. May you recognize your name when He calls. And may God's blessings be with you today and always as you seek to answer His call. Amen.
Thank you for being with us on Labors of Love. I'd like to thank my guest, Deacon Michael Mantz, Diaconate Director for the Diocese of Corpus Christi. If you would like more information about the Diaconate Program in the Diocese, please call him at 361-289-2343 or email him at diaconate@diocesecc.org. Thanks again for joining us on Labors of Love.
You've been listening to Labors of Love with Margaret Alleria. Online MP3s of this program are available on the CCN server. Browse to podcasts.goccn.net. Scroll down and select the Labors of Love category. Be with us next week at this same time for another edition of Labors of Love. Labors of Love is a production of the Department of Evangelization, Diocese of Corpus Christi, and CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.